What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dirty Blondes. My boozy bestie is back this week. Hi, Desiree.
Hey, boo. What's up, Stephanie?
Not much. Thanks for joining me again.
Of course.
So this week we are talking about being child-free. The two cougars are living that child-free life.
Living my best life. People are going to hate us.
Well, okay. So I feel like I have to preface this for, I'm going to speak for both of us on this because I feel like you probably agree. Mm-hmm. Just because we don't want kids doesn't mean that we hate your kids. Well, sure. I might hate some of your kids.
Yeah.
But I feel like in general, people think that people who are child-free or don't want to have kids are just like automatic children haters. And right. I think it's a little deeper than that.
Oh gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
So when did you kind of realize that you didn't want to have kids? At like what point in your life? Was there like a defining moment or was it just kind of, you know, a thought that you always kind of had that you didn't want them?
You know, it's weird. If I really look back to like being a kid and, you know, like little girls could go through that phase of baby dolls and playing house and playing mommy. I didn't really do that. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I don't know why I always wanted to be a teacher. So I used to always set up my backyard as a school, or I wanted to be a businesswoman. I was obsessed with being a lawyer. So the idea of playing house never got into my head. And then I got older and I started dating and I got so excited. And I remember thinking, I think I'm more excited about a wedding than I am a marriage. So that was kind of how I was in my 20s when everybody was getting married. And I was thinking like, that's what I have to do. And I'd wear the fake engagement ring. So I'd get to go dress shopping. Don't judge me. Don't come for me for that, whatever. And so then it was like, Desiree, what is it? You're really excited about the wedding. Then the older I got, the more it was, okay, I want something lasting. I want something real. I want a marriage, but never was there a trajectory of really wanting kids. And then I got to like late 20s, early 30s, where I was like, yeah, nah, this is just, the desire is gone. I love being the cool aunt. I love being the cool godmother. Like I'm good. And so I'm either going to never have kids and marry someone who feels the same, or which is kind of the situation I am in right now. Well, not kind of, it is the situation I am in right now, whereas I'm getting married to someone who has a child from a previous marriage. And I get to be like the cool stepmom because my step parents were amazing. Mm-hmm. But I knew post my divorce from my first marriage that I had no desire to procreate, that I never wanted to have my own child. More importantly, a smaller Desiree. No, I would go to prison.
Well, that's what they always say. Like, that's like the old, like myth or whatever, what old wives tale of, oh, yeah. You know, however you were as a kid, you get the payback for, you know, whatever child you procreate.
I'm not doing that. I also know, and one of the things I've always talked to other women who are like, yeah, but when you find the right guy or you get to a certain age, I'm like, no. And here's one of the other defining reasons. I'm a very selfish person. Mm. And I recognize that I'm a selfish person. And I recognize that if I want to spend $500 on a pair of shoes, that I'm allowed to do that. And I don't want to be in the position of, is it selfish for me to spend this money on myself? Do I need to save this money for Junior's basketball tournament? No, I don't want to make that decision. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as far as like time and money. You know, those are both very important to me as far as my, you know, single living alone life right now. I'm used to that and I enjoy it. And it would take a lot for me to give that up. And I feel like part of it with money, I know for myself, I was given a really nice life growing up and I'm like, not at that point where I could even provide that for a kid. And I've always known that, like I would never be able to provide for a child the way that my parents provided for me. And the same thing with time. I've always been very business oriented and I have always wanted that as a priority. And I look at how I am with, you know, with vanity and things like that, of course, you know, vanity obviously plays a role into it and not being able to drink and you know, all of the.
For 9 months. Yeah. No, I'm good.
Some people are like, oh, that's a trivial thing. And I'm like, well, I like to drink and have fun. And like, I like to go out and do stuff. And, you know, once you have a kid, it's like your life really does change.
Exactly.
And I am selfish with my time. And I'm like, what if my kid is like fucking mediocre or like a fucking loser? Right? Like, I think back to the kids that like I went to high school with and grade school and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, you know, everyone, you know, I think that's part of when you are going through a pregnancy journey and trying to have kids. It's like, it's the little lies that you have to tell yourself of like, oh, yes, my kid's going to cure cancer. My kid's going to do this or be an astronaut.
He's
or
gonna
you
be
know,
a
whatever.
Doctor. He's going to be a lawyer. He's yeah. going to be the president.
And I'm on the opposite spectrum. I'm like, no, my kid's going to end up being fucking mediocre or pissing me the fuck off. And I'm mm-hmm. going to be stuck with this kid. Cause like, I can't yep. abandon it, you know? Cause it's like, yeah. Well, cause it's like, realistically, it's like, I see how people are with like dogs, like when they adopt dogs or have dogs and they abandon them yeah. if they get too old. Yeah. And I'm like, those people and all of those people, like from the viral TikToks and things that I've seen, all of those people are families. Like they have kids and I'm like, okay, you're going to just like give up your dog because it got too old or the dog was too problematic or mm-hmm. whatever. And mm-hmm. I'm like, but you have kids. Like,
you can't do that with a kid. So.
Right. And I'm also just like with that mindset though, like I feel like you should, if you give up a dog or abandon a dog, like on the side of the road, you shouldn't be allowed to have kids. Like that's just, exactly. it's going to be an unpopular opinion. Exactly. And I know people are going to come for me.
Agreed.
But it's just, I don't think that's okay. Like it's not, I mean, having kids is a long-term commitment. It's, and 100%.
Yeah.
And I love dogs. Like I had, you know, I had a dog for a couple years and I had to put him down and I'm loving not having one right now. You know, like mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm not going to get one again. I will, but I'm just at the point where I'm just enjoying not having to get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to walk him
dealing
with dog vomit or whatever, going to the vet. And I'm just like putting that in perspective. I see, a woman that I work with, she has two kids. She's always sick. She's sick like once a month at least. Oh, wow. And I'm just like,
she got sick because of her kids.
100%.
Thank you very much for coming to my TED talk.
Yeah.
There you go. Problems.
Yeah.
Off.
It's just like, all of that kind of stuff. I just like, I don't know. I knew when I was 16, I wanted to get my tubes tied when I was 16. And obviously doctors wow. told me, no, they were like, we can't do that, you know, cause it's,
wow.
yeah.
And I went to my doctor when I was 25, actually. Okay. And I remember when he was like, come to me when you're 30. And I was married at 30. And that was the only window of time in my adult life that I entertained the idea of having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm very grateful that that didn't happen because I did end up getting divorced. But I remember, ironically, every time I thought about it or talked about it with his family, my family, or my friends, my answer was always, oh my gosh, we can't wait to have kids. He's going to be such a great dad. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see him as a dad. He's going to be an amazing father. I never talked about myself as a mother. And when I got divorced, I was like, girl, I think you just dodged a bullet, because that really mentally said a lot. And I think somewhere deep down internally, it was just like, this is not for you. This isn't your journey.
Right.
And divorce is never something I'd wish on my worst enemy, but it was actually a really great blessing, because I would have, oh my God, I'd have a 9-year-old now.
Oh my gosh.
That would probably be such a cunt and I'd punch her in the face. So thank God I did it.
If I had kids, oh my God, my kids would be, cause I was a fucking nightmare as a child. Like my mom used to beat the shit out of me with a wooden spoon when I mouthed up. Like I was just, oh my God, I was a terror. So
I was actually the goody two shoes, but I was also like a snitch because I very much believed in like everything adults told me I believed is true. So anytime there was any sort of disorder, I was like, Stephanie said a bad word. I heard her say it. But then also I realized very young that I was probably a borderline sociopath, because I could use things to my advantage to manipulate people.
Yeah.
And I recognized that like in the fifth grade.
Okay.
So if I had a fifth grader, like, and I knew how I was, and yeah. in the world of social media, nah, she'd be dead.
Kids are so smart now too. I watch TikToks and I've somehow ended up on like problematic child TikTok, like all the little devils that like make me laugh.
That's a thing.
Yeah, there's like so many. I see parents like will post things of like their kids just being little hellions. And I laugh because, and the ones that curse and, you know, do all the stuff. And I laugh because I'm like, all right, well, they're not kids. Me. I don't have to worry about it. But like at the same time, I'm like, God bless you because you have a long fucking road ahead of you.
And not only that, you're like, someone's going to need bail money, it's either them or you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, it's funny because, so I wanted to get my tubes tied at 16, but then now for my next annual appointment, I'm going to talk to my doctor about actually getting like sterilized because I'm just like, at this point, like, look, we all know if you listen to the podcast, I sleep around and I'm just done with like having to worry about it. Like, I don't mind taking birth control and shit like that, but you know, especially for like, I have PCOS, so it helps like with my acne and like shit like that. So it's like, I'm not anti-pill, but it, like, I would still, I mean, if I had to take it like till the day I die, I wouldn't care.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's not a problem, but, as far as just the worry and just like, I want it to be more final because I have so many guys that will be like, oh, well, like, or people just in general of like, oh, you'll change your mind or, oh, no. like you, no. you might feel different. And I just want it to be a finite, like, no, I cannot have kids now.
Yeah. I actually got my hysterectomy in 2019 and for a combination of things between endometriosis and just horrible fibroids and then having the genetic marker for ovarian and cervical cancer.
Oh, wow.
It was just like a medical, it was, yeah, it was a no-brainer medical wise, but then also I got my hysterectomy when I was 39, I think.
Okay.
So I was like, girl, if you're not pushing out a baby now, you're not doing it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Like, you've dodged it. You know, you've already ingested enough Plan Bs to go ahead and fill up an entire Pez dispenser. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, let's just go ahead. This is God's way of telling you it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And so I was very grateful. Now I will tell you, I got a partial, so I still have my ovaries.
Okay.
Because that's one of the things they're like, do you want to go ahead and get all out, all of it out? And I know some doctors give you the pros and cons and, you know, taking everything out can sometimes trigger like
early menopause, right?
And I was like, girl, we do not want that. So like, they're like, let's just go ahead and keep your ovaries. I will tell you, one of the hardest recoveries I've ever been through.
Is it? Yeah, I know. That's the reason, or like, that's, you know, one of the reasons why I don't want to do it. And I just am like crossing my fingers about the pill. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know what? I've been through other surgeries. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'd rather just have the peace of mind and just, you know, whatever. It's
yeah. But it was, and of course for me, I mean, I was also really lucky. I timed it perfectly. My family happened to be in town. My fiance was just like literally waiting on me hand and foot, helping me in the shower. It was great. But at the same time, other than all those medical reasons, I knew that kids weren't right for me.
Yeah.
And like I said, he has an adorable son from his first marriage. And I was like, I'm fine with it. And so now I can have all of the non-condom use sex that I want. And it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I don't, people always tell me, oh, you would be a great mom. And I'm like, I know, like, I know I would be a great mom. Like, yeah, I didn't say I would be a bad mom. I just said, I don't want to be a mom. Cause it's like, honestly too, I raise like half the guys I date. And this one guy, had tried to hit on me from Hinge and he was older than me. And he had listened to one of the episodes where I was talking about kind of being a cougar. And he was like, oh, well, you're raising all the guys you date because you're dating younger ones. And I was like, my ex was 20 years older than me and I had to raise his ass. So I don't want to hear anything about the age conversation, you know, in relationship to maturity, you know, that's very different, but
exactly.
But yeah, I like, that's a journey that I'm going to potentially go on. I have to obviously have a bigger conversation with my doctors. You know, I think December is like my annual appointment. So I figured I'll have the chat then, but I saw this TikTok go viral the other day and I'm kind of like pissed at myself for not taking care of myself in my 20s because this TikTok went viral for a company that buys women's eggs. Like you can go and go through the fertility process, but like
I looked into that when I was in my 20s. Yeah.
Right. And I'm livid that I didn't do it because I was never even, so now I'm too old technically, like the cutoff is usually most companies is 30. I think the most I've seen is 32, which I don't know if they'll ever up the age because there are so many people waiting later in life. You know what I mean? Like to be in quotes, like a risk pregnancy. So I don't know if like those fertility companies or whatever the egg companies will up the age at any time, but I'm pissed that I was so overweight and didn't take care of my body in my 20s because I would have been like, take them all, take all the eggs.
Yeah, just take all of them.
Because for people who don't know about the egg process, like if you're in your 20s, not to push it on you, but if you don't want kids, this is something you should absolutely explore.
Think about it. Oh, yeah, sure.
You can get, what is it, like $7,000 like per,
you can
like
get so much
session
money.
Or something, or is it per egg? It's something crazy. And
it's something crazy.
It's literally so much money. So to the college ladies, if you have fucking student loan debt and you're like, I don't want to be a mom or want to risk it, girl, pay off those loans.
Oh God. Yeah. And I remember I actually did look into it when I was in college. And I think the thing that kind of persuaded me, well, not really persuaded, but kind of got me off of it was there's a whole bunch of testing and vetting that you've got to do ahead of time. And it's not like any woman can walk in and is like, hey, scoop these eggs out. Like, I don't want them. Like there's so much, it's such a process. And like the likelihood of you being chosen. And then I also knew just from my genetic history, from my family, I was like, girl, you are probably not going to get picked because you are a Black woman from the South. You have every genetic disease that is going to be prone to us. Like diabetes, like, come on now. It's not going to happen. So it's difficult for some people.
Yeah. Some of them are really strict. And like for me, even at this point, even though I'm healthier than what I was, like, cause I had looked into the company that did the viral TikTok and I didn't meet the age requirements, but I still didn't meet a lot of the other requirements, like just because of my weight and, you know, so age aside. So yeah, it is a long-term commitment and it's a process, but it's definitely, I mean, if you're getting like $7,000 to $10,000 or more, in some cases, it depends on the company. It's like a huge amount of money that I'm like, I wish I took care of myself in my 20s because I absolutely would have sold all of them.
Same. Oh gosh. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's like crazy too. Cause it's like, you don't really hear people talk about it. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like it should be normalized. It's like, there's money out there. People are willing to like spend the money too. And it's like, also with those companies, I'm wondering if they'll ever like be a little bit more lenient with people's medical backgrounds, because realistically so many people have kids just, you know, if they can have them, and no one's stopping them saying, oh
yeah, no, not knowing genetic markers,
genetics are bad. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you hear stories all the time of even like, oh yeah, we did an ancestry DNA and I'm like technically related to my husband. Like, you know, a very far line down. It's like, I hear stories like that all the time. Yeah. They're like eighth cousins twice removed or something, but it's like, they're still like on the list. And I'm like, oh my God, like
there is a branch.
Yeah. There's a branch. Yeah. So I'm wondering if they'll ever like get a little bit more lenient about it with people having kids later and just like everyone's medical history. I mean, I've never met anyone that doesn't have some type of medical history, whether it's cancer, diabetes,
right.
Glaucoma. Like it doesn't even have to be that serious, but everyone has something in their genetic history. So,
oh God. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Crazy. Now I always say this, I don't know if this is a statement you'll agree with or not, but I always say this, that just because you can have kids doesn't mean that you should. Like, I think having kids is a privilege and not a right.
I feel like you need to repeat that again for the people in the back of the classroom.
I'm going to say it again. Having kids is a privilege, not a right.
Thank you. And for those of you who are like, but I love him and we would have such cute, feel free to pause this, rewind it and listen to that again. I agree. I totally agree.
Well, so when I was growing up, I was friends with someone when I was in high school. She was older than me. We worked together at the same restaurant in the summer, and she, I'm from New Jersey originally. So she worked in Atlantic City at their special services school. She was a teacher, and she had a student that was a crack baby whose name was Nike Adidas. And because the mom couldn't pick between her two favorite brands, and she had other kids too. Like, I think she was pregnant at one point in the time that I had known this girl. And I was just like, who keeps encouraging this or letting this happen? I'm like, and that's like the perfect example. I always think of those type of things of like, just because you can doesn't mean that you should.
Exactly. And I agree with that. And I think, unfortunately, there are a lot of people here who are products of that environment. And kudos for you for making the most of it. You know, kudos for you for saying, like, this is the environment that I was grown into, or I was born into rather, but at the same time, I've overcome it and I'm going to make a better way for myself. But not that I want to say it's the same as having a pet, but like, not everybody needs to have a pet. Not everybody needs to have children. They are huge responsibilities.
Yeah.
And it is very easy to go to PetSmart or right outside of Publix when, you know, PETA's doing that fundraiser and to pick up that little labradoodle. And it is very easy to go to the bar, get drunk, not pull out and get pregnant. But we're not thinking about those repercussions. And you're right. Not thinking about the fact that not everyone is made to be a parent or meant to be a parent.
Oh, 100%. And I think people think so selfishly too, when they have kids. Like I say all the time, like I didn't ask to be here. Like I'm on this planet because my parents had unprotected sex. You know what I mean? Like
because of earth, wind, and fire.
So I'm just like, I'm here because they made that choice for themselves and that point in their life. But I'm like, I sit here every day and I'm just like, look, here I am stressing about bills, work, you know, and look, I have it very good compared to a majority of people. I understand that I'm very privileged and I'm very, very lucky. But even with all of that privilege and luck that I have, I'm still out here every day. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I didn't sign up for this, you know? And it's like, I feel like a lot of people forget that when they have kids, you know, like, and especially when they have a million of them, like if they're having like four plus five plus kids. And I'm just like, are you not like thinking, like, forget even the stuff that you have to deal with as a parent, like financially and the responsibility of raising them correctly to be functioning in society and all of that stuff. But like, all of those kids are just like, they didn't sign up for that. That's like, and I hate when parents are like, oh, my kid turned 18. They're not my responsibility anymore. Or all of those types of conversations.
Right,
I'm like,
if
that's your thought process, like if you just wanted to have a kid to check off a box
and then be done with it.
Yeah. And then be like, well, fuck you. You're 18. You're an adult. Figure it out. Like, that's not right. Like I'm 34. I still call my mom all the time about shit. Like whether it's like financial help sometimes, whether it's advice, whether it's, you know, just whatever, like she's my mom and she knows that she's, you know, in it for the long haul with me. Like if I ever got down and out where I'm like, hey, I need to move back home or I need a big loan, like to get me out of a problem or whatever. She would be there. And
those parents
that aren't there for their kids in that way, or the ones that disown their kids because of them being either gay or trans or whatever, not following a religion, whatever the case is. I'm like, how can you sit there as a parent and just think that that's.
And then just
like,
be done with it.
Right. Like I just.
With this life that you brought into the world.
Right. And that's like, that falls into the whole, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Like, if you're not in for it for all of those things, then in my opinion, you shouldn't have kids. Like, I see too much of the bullshit online of like on TikTok, just like suffering from like, you know, parent neglect or whatever the case is. It's so sad.
And I also think of it sometimes on a scientific level, because I do have very much of a pessimistic doomsday mentality in the back of my head. Yeah. And so Dan Brown, I cannot remember the name of the book. Dan Brown wrote a book years ago where basically the villain came up with this virus that can be admitted into the air and do a forced sterilization out at random.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why he did that was basically because he's like, we know in a certain amount of time, humans are going to ruin all of our natural resources.
Oh, 100%.
And he was like, this is my way of scientifically and mathematically helping prolong the human race by doing forced sterilization so that we can try to maximize what we do have and minimize the doomsday part of losing all our natural resources.
Right.
And so I remember I was reading this book and I was like, I kind of agree.
I mean, yeah, well, that's China did it. You figure China did it with, you know, they were only allowed to have one kid. And then it was very, I don't know much about it now, but I remember when I was in the third grade, my teacher at the time, she went to China to adopt a girl from an adoption agency there, because at that point in time, again, I don't know about now, but if it was a girl, they were often given up for adoption because of the traditions in China. And I'm sure it's, you know, I'm sure some families in China still follow it and a lot don't, but in the 90s, this was in the early 90s, that was a big thing. So a lot of American families were going over to China to adopt these girls. And, but then they had started the rule of like, oh, you can only have one kid per family or whatever it was. Yep. And it's, you know, obviously in America, everyone would be so up in arms if that like ever became a rule or a law or whatever.
And why is that? Why is that? Is it because you really have this maternal/paternal instinct to have children, or are you just selfish and you want other versions of you?
I think that's part of it, of the, like, the other versions of you. And I think a lot of people, depending on their history, try to make up for their bad childhood. So they want to give kids a life that they potentially didn't get, which I get the logic of it, but it's like, go to therapy and just work through your shit. Like, you don't have to keep bringing kids in the world to, like, make up for, like, your bad childhood or whatever, you know?
And don't think that you doing that is going to erase whatever bad childhood you had.
100%. It's definitely not going to be, especially if you're not trying to heal from it on your own anyway. Like, having kids isn't going to heal it. It's just going to push it to the back burner and, you know, distract you from it, essentially.
True.
It's just, but also to like the doomsday thing, that's another thing I think of now more so than ever, just with, like, the whole Ukraine Putin issue and just COVID,
I was going to say,
global warming, all of these things. And I'm just like, I look at things and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I couldn't even imagine, like, actively trying to get pregnant right now just because of those things. And I'm not saying, I know I have listeners that are probably actively trying to get pregnant, and that's your call. And you're like, I'm not saying don't do it, but for
that, me, is your journey.
Yeah. For me, I just cannot get past. I always, because I don't look at things in a year's time. I'm looking at them at 10, 20, 30 years ahead. You know, I'm always looking at the much bigger picture. So I start to think of these things and I'm just like, all right, like, what if there is World War III? What am I going to do? Have two or three kids that I'm going to have to, like, take in a bunker somewhere, have to worry about, or, like, you know, it's like, I watched all the Ukraine stuff on TikTok, and the parents that stayed were just giving their kids to go over the border. And I'm just like, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. And that's, and I agree with you. Like, you see all these things that are going on in the world and you're just like, how can I, in good conscience and good faith, bring another life into this world when we are facing all these shortages, when there is something like COVID, when there are these wars going on? It's just like, it is a lot. And then more importantly, you are now a mom. You have now brought this child to the world. How do you navigate all of these outside forces to try to instill some form of hope in this little life that ultimately, I think every parent's, correct me if I'm wrong, parents, if you're listening, I think it's every parent's desire to present a world that's better than the world that you had. Right, but when there is a lot of stuff on the outside that has kind of not proven that point to be true, how do you then essentially lie?
So kind of go off of that, I feel like even with the ways that parents parent, like, the everyone parents differently.
Oh.
So you have parents that are like the new age parents that don't even tell their kids about Santa. They're just like, Santa's fake. And then you have other ones that will live, breathe, and die by that. Oh, Santa's real until, like, they can figure it out, or, you know, or, I mean, that's a very simple and, you know, trivial kind of thing, but there's so many views and ways to do things. And just, I think about myself with, you know, how I get very heated and those types of things. And I could never deal with the other parents. If I was a parent at, like, school, I would be in prison. Yeah. Luckily I looked at an orange, but, like, I fully would be in prison for, like, either kicking another parent's ass or kicking another kid's ass if they were, like, bullying my kid or something. Like, I would not be able to deal with that, because everyone's got an opinion and everyone's so sensitive nowadays and all of that kind of shit. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I look at people who actively try and I'm just like, good luck to you. Like, Godspeed, this is a journey that I cannot take for my own mental sanity.
So let me ask you, because I know we talked about this a little bit before we were recording, and we both agreed that we were like, oh, we would be those moms who would be in jail for our children.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's talk about, like, your core group of girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of like you were saying with parenting style, what do you think you would do if you were a mom? Stretch your imagination for a moment.
Yeah.
And then one of your girlfriends did one of those whole, oh, you know, well, we don't do that with our kid. Like, you guys are doing it a little differently. Like, how do you think you would probably engage, especially with your own friends, if they commented on your parenting style?
You know, I mean, my friends have always known that I'm just pretty much set in my ways with anything, you know, with just anything in life. I have my opinions about stuff. And that's, I think, something that they, like, either love about me or hate about me. You know, it's just one of those things. I'm an outspoken person and I'm very like, this is how I do it. And I will support any one of my friends in stuff that they want to do, even if I don't agree. Like, I try to look at it from a different perspective. I'm a Libra, so I always try to see both sides, you know, the scales always tipping both ways. So I do try to take that into account. But just because a friend of mine saying, oh, well, I'm going to parent this way, or you shouldn't parent that way, doesn't mean that I'm going to listen to them or change what I'm doing. So, it would be one of those things where it's like, we can agree to disagree, but you know, stay out of my business basically. So
it's the mom shaming for me. Like I will sometimes find myself going down a rabbit hole of stuff on TikTok. And it's like, this is how I would know that I would either be arrested or I'd be banned on some form of social media, because it would just take one person and one comment to be, well, you know, you shouldn't spanking.
I
spanking
wooden spoon was on my ass until I learned to shape up.
Wooden spoon, belt, spatula, fly swatter. I'm from Georgia, so switches. Shout out to all you people from the South, you know what a switch is. So, you know, for people to be like, okay, well now I would never, yes, it was done to me, but I would never do it to my, I'm sorry, but I believe that sometimes a little bit of physical punishment is necessary.
100%.
So then to sit there and have those people to like mom shame you, like it's so vicious and hurtful. Who is to say that your version's right and mine is wrong?
Right. I've fallen on the side of TikTok of kind of non-conventional parenting, which has been, it's been very interesting because there are a lot of the mom shaming comments, but it's interesting to see how people are kind of evolving and, you know, sharing their journeys and stories in a positive way to say, hey, look, this isn't the way that we were taught or raised as kids, but here's what's working for me. And, you know, every kid is going to be different. Every situation's different. It's, you know, that's just life. But yeah, the mom shaming, I saw this one woman on TikTok. I'm sure you probably have seen the initial video. Everyone's been stitching it. So the initial video was this woman was basically saying that she doesn't agree with how women talk shit about their kids and call them crotch goblins and things like that. And all the people in the comments, I was dying because all the people in the comments of the original video were like, you haven't hung out with your kids long enough. And like, it's okay. I still love my kids, but my kids are assholes. Assholes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like kids can be assholes, you know, kids not every totally kid is nice. Assholes.
Yeah. You know? I have some girlfriends that I absolutely 100% adore because they tell me the beautiful and dirty truth of parenthood.
Yeah.
And one of the, and that's one of the things that they're constantly talking about is I love my child. I will defend my child to the ends of the earth. They are my pride and joy. She can be such a little bitch sometimes though.
Yeah.
She can be demanding. He's a dick, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, like this whole sugary sweet kind of mentality that you have now produced this child and it's perfect is not necessarily true. And so I really appreciate that.
Do you find though, that women who have kids are more open with you on the negative experiences or like the venting process of being a mother because you're not going to mom shame them potentially because you're not a mom. Like, you know, do you find that a little bit more?
You would think I do, but I feel like I have a lot of rose colored glass friends.
Oh, okay.
Where they're just like, it's great. You know, Desiree, still one day you might change your mind.
I feel like that's cult behavior. When they say that, I'm like, don't look, I'm not buying into the theme. Like, just don't talk me into it just because you're second guessing it now.
Dude, even like in bed recovering from my hysterectomy, it was like, but you still have your ovaries, right? And I'm like, bitch, yeah, but like, they're just sitting there chilling along with my spleen. Like, we're not using them. Like, what? No. But yeah, I definitely appreciate those girlfriends of mine who do that. But I actually feel like I have a majority of them that are just like, it's my whole world. I'm so super happy. And don't get me wrong, they're amazing. And I say this and I feel like you have the same sentiment, which it's like, it might not be right for us, but like kudos for you if that is your journey and that is your truth to be that mom.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know how you do it. And so I'm happy to let them vent to me. But I do kind of find my girlfriends who are just like, he's perfect and he's wonderful and it's soccer and it's this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, but don't you just want to like get in a tub and close the door and drink an entire bottle of wine and not answer to anyone for like a good 2 hours?
Yeah.
And not have to worry about a calendar or feeding someone or be responsible for like, doesn't that sound great? And then for some people, knowing you can't do that is just sad.
Yeah. When I was in corporate America, there was a lot of people that I worked with who were moms and, you know, I was younger at the time. I was in my 20s. So it was always the, oh, you'll change your mind and all that kind of shit. But a lot of the drama and stuff that they would go through on a personal level, just, you know, the text messages, the school phone calls, all the bullshit, they would start to vent. And then they were like, oh, and I'm like, look, you can say whatever the fuck you want about your kids. I'm not going to tell them and I don't care. I'm probably in agreement about it. So like, this is a safe space. Like I even had one lady was like, yeah, I have kids and I love my kids. And like, I wouldn't really change my life because this is all I know. But like, I do think about like, what if I didn't have kids? What would my life be like? And she felt guilty saying it. And I said, don't feel guilty. I said,
don't feel guilty.
I said, the same way that you think that way. I said, I'm not saying I never thought about having kids. I've entertained the idea with certain guys of just like, you know, when you progress to a certain point, that conversation happens. And I was like, I know I would be a great mom. I know I would be, but it's not something long-term when I, you know, when I weigh out the options of the 30, 40 year plan, it doesn't work for me. And, but I was like, there's nothing shameful about saying, wow, I wonder what my life would have been like without kids or, oh, my kids fucking suck today. I'm like, I'm not going to judge you for that. Like they probably do suck. And I will be the first to tell you.
I'll be the first one to tell you in front of your kid, your kid is a little twat too.
I think too, I feel like it should be normalized for moms to like be able to just book a hotel room themselves and just go and have I feel like not enough moms do that. And I think that that's like half the, like, I think that's why half the moms out there have like mom burnout because they're just like never stopping. Cause it doesn't stop. It's not like, you know, oh, it's the weekend. I get, for me, my weekend comes and I'm like, great. I get to fuck off for 3 days. That's if I was a mom, you don't have a day off, you know? So it's like, I feel like women really need to embrace that side and just like, you know, it's not a bad mom if you're not there for one day for your kid. Like it's because it's like if you're empty and feeling nothing and exhausted and agitated or angry or whatever that you're feeling, like how are you supposed to nurture your kids and your husband, like, or wife, whatever, you know, if you're not feeling up to it? Like you need to like, you know, refuel yourself.
Oh God. Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, kind of using that term bad mom, when the Bad Moms movie came out, I remember thinking, okay, that's totally me. If I would be a mom, that would be me. But also more importantly, I don't think that makes me a bad mom. I don't think any of those moms were bad moms. And what I liked about those films is they kind of played on that idea of like, you're the bad mom if you took an afternoon off, if you drank with your girlfriends, if you did this. And it's like, no, I feel like that's needed. That should be required for moms because there is no time off. Yeah. And so I find it absolutely laughable, that idea of you're the bad mom if you do something that's selfish for you. Yeah. But it's like you said, you've got to then be able to put that in your tank so that you can give your best self out, whether that's being a mom, whether that's being in a relationship, being your partner, whatever, even on a professional level, you've got to make sure the self is satisfied in order to produce a better product.
100%. Now, since you are a stepmom,
to be a stepmom. Yeah.
How do you guys deal with that as far as like your role essentially? Like, do you like sit there and give advice or give your two cents, or do you just stay out of it?
I am in the background. I am the cheerleader because at the end of the day, that is not my biological child. So what I do is I'm like the cheerleader for him and for his ex-wife. Okay. And it's like, whatever is the best course of action, there you go. Yeah. And I think, and especially because he's at such a relatively young age, obviously, I think when he gets a little bit older, then I'll happily kind of put my two cents in. And that's what my stepmother did and what my stepfather did was, you know, they kind of both stepped back a bit until I got to a little bit of an older age. And then also when I developed my own relationship with them respectively. But yeah, I'm not putting in my, oh, you should do this or, oh, you should do that. At all. I'm in the background kind of like, yep, like whatever you guys are doing that's best for your son. 100% I agree.
Yeah. I've had people ask me what I would do. And I feel like I would do the same thing. I'm like, it's not my business. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if the kid calls me and is like, I'm in jail or like, I'm in detention or like whatever, like, yeah, I like would obviously be there. Like, I'm not going to just like leave a kid stranded or, you know, I would want to be someone that at least they trust as a trusting adult. But I was like, I don't feel like it's my place. I've had guys when I was kind of like a little bit more open to entertaining dating guys with kids when I was non-cougar part of my life.
I had that face for about a week.
So I had talked to some guys who had kids, or if they had kids very young. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, guys who have kids in their teens and, you know, whatever. So guys will disclose that to me. And in some cases, like they would literally be looking for like a second mom. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm not getting into the baby mama drama of you and your ex or whatever. Like I'm not signing up for that. I don't, my life is so peaceful right now. it would take so much for me to disrupt that. And I was like, I'm not dealing, I don't want to deal with X shit without a kid, let alone being like, oh, well, Stephanie said that she or he could do X, Y, Z. And like, no, my opinion does not matter. It's, you know, I couldn't get in the middle of that kind of stuff. It's
for sure. Same. Oh no, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's because it's a slippery slope, because it's like you start to give opinions or, you know, advice, and then it's like, then one parent's going to be upset, or I'm just like, nah, like I can't do that. It's, it's, yeah, it's,
yeah,
that's a big burden.
And again, you know, it also kind of goes back to me. The first rule is that is not my child.
Yeah.
That is not my flesh and blood. I am not their parent. So there's, to me, there's only but so much I can do.
Right.
And I would never want to overstep.
Having this conversation with a guy the other day, he was asking me about kids, and I was like, oh no, I don't want kids. And he looked so devastated when I told him. And
really?
Yeah. And it, like, we haven't even really hung out that much. So like, that's, or like talked really that much. So that's why I was just kind of like surprised that he looked so sad. I said it so nonchalantly, just like I always do, because I've had this conversation so many times. So he looks so sad, and he's like, well, he's like, are you able to have kids? Like, he thought it was like a medical thing. And I was like, yeah, I'm able to have kids.
I just don't want them.
Like, I don't like, you know, it's not for me. And so it's like, it's funny because I've had that conversation so many times lately with younger guys. And it's funny because even though they don't want kids now, I think they're automatically, even if they thought like, oh, I could potentially have a relationship with this person, you know, for a period of time or whatever, they're starting to think a little longer term. And like, it's just, it's funny because I'm just like, I never expected those conversations really like as a cougar. Like, I just always figure guys, like, you know,
not even thinking about it.
Yeah. Like, or they'd be like, awesome, she doesn't want kids. Like, this is great.
I don't want kids. This is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually went on a date with a guy who, I think I met him on Tinder years ago, and we had a great first date. And he brought that up in conversation about wanting kids. And just like you said, like I always do, very nonchalantly, I was like, I don't want kids. I never planned on having kids. This was after my divorce. So I was very much like, for sure, not having kids. And I don't know if I talked about this the last episode, but he did one of the most adult, mature things ever. He texted me the next day. He was like, you know, Desiree, we had a great time. I really enjoyed hanging out with you. I'd love to see you again, but in all honesty, I do want to have kids. This is what I'm looking for. And as much as I really had a great time with you, I don't want to waste your time and spend more time pursuing you if that's what you're not interested in. And I was like, dude, thank you so much. Like, I texted him. I was like, I really appreciate that. Like, your honesty is super, super well received, and I wish you the best. And I bet you anything, he's probably happily married with a shit ton of kids right now. But like, I was really happy to see that kind of honesty, because just like I knew my truth of not wanting to have kids, he knew his, where he was like, I want to pursue someone who does.
No. And there needs to be more of that in dating. Yes, I feel like everyone, and this goes for all kinds of things, in South Florida and the area that I live in, there's a lot of rehabs in this area. So I run into a lot of guys who are sober. And as we all know, I am the furthest thing from sober.
Last people who are sober, Stephanie and Desiree.
Yeah. So I have talked to guys, and I don't have anything against, I have known sober people in my life, and I can act accordingly, you know, when I'm around them. And some people don't care, but I know, never want to be the reason why someone relapses. I never want to put someone in a position, you know, so I've had those types of conversations where this one kid, him and I were talking for a period of time, and he had told me that he was in the process of like moving into a halfway house. Like, he had finished rehab.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, you know what? Like, I don't think this is a good idea. And he just was adamant about meeting, and I never wanted to. And then I kind of ghosted him because he just like, wasn't really getting the hint. So he had resurfaced, but I didn't have him saved in my phone. So I was like, who is this? And he told me who it was. And I was like, look, I said, I'm the last person you should be dating.
Exactly.
Okay? I said, I'm telling you. And he's like, no, I don't care about that. Like, we had such
a good I care.
Right. I said, I'm not going to be the reason that you relapse. I said, I don't want that pressure on my shoulders of having to worry about that, or worry about my friends, or worry about you. I did that. Yeah. I did that with an ex who wasn't sober and was an addict. Like, he was addicted to everything. And I was like, it's not I said, that's not fair to you. I said, you need to date someone who is sober. I said, that's not fair to you. And he didn't like the response, but I was just like, I can't sit here and string this guy along. And it's the same thing with kids and whatever the case is, you know, it could be even, you know, I had this one guy that was like, oh, I like to move every couple of years. And I said, oh, I'm not never moving out of Boca. So I said, this is, you know, I said, good luck. I said, if you're in Boca again, like hit me up.
I'll see you when you get back.
Like it's just, I think, and you know, for anything that's a big item like that in a relationship, you have to be upfront and you can't waste people's time. Cause of course everyone's like, likes to have the, oh, well, like what if, or, you know, like Koala, I call him Koala, the guy that I have been kind of shacked up with on and off the last couple of weeks. He had said something jokingly, cause he was like, oh, you don't want kids. And I was like, no, I just, and I kind of went into some of the reasoning why, and he jokes, he's like, we would have cute kids. Like, we should try it. And I was like, I laughed and I was like, you don't want to have kids with my old ass. I was like, you know, but like, and I know he was fully joking, but it's just, everyone loves to throw around that idea of like, oh, let's just give it a shot. And I'm like, it's not just like giving it a shot. Like there's no trial period.
Exactly. We're not giving this a shot. This isn't like, oh, let's just take up making craft beer home. This is a kid we're talking about.
Right. Like, and I'm just like, and of course babies are cute. They're quiet. They just like to sleep and snuggle and whatever. But it's like, once they start fucking walking around, and not all babies are cute, but
but
they are, I'm just going to say it, but, but yeah, the whole like baby phase, I get why people are like, oh my God, I want to have another baby, or I want to have a baby. Cause like the baby's quiet and sleeping. But once that kid starts walking around and running its mouth, it's like, that's a whole different ballpark. And that's when people start to like, you know, I think get out of that phase and are like, oh shit, this is like a long-term, you know, a much longer term commitment, you know?
One of the things I'm always hearing, especially from like new moms, is that whole lack of sleep. And I don't know if you're like me, but my sleep is like my money. You mess with my sleep or my money and we are going to have problems. I value my sleep. Like I have now become that adult, minimum 6 hours.
Yeah.
Less than that if I'm traveling, maybe, but I mean, if I can get a solid 8, the level of bitch you're going to get is going to be far less. But you're going to tell me that you're going to be 4 hour, 3 hour, 2 hour nights of sleep because I have a new baby? Absolutely not. I can't do that. I cannot.
See, and how you value sleep. My thing is my free time. Like I love my free time. I like being able to sit here on one of my days off if I want to and just fuck off and turn my phone off and be like, I'm just watching TV. And that hasn't happened in a while just because all my free time really goes to this podcast. But you know, the days that I do have like a couple hours of free time, I'm like, I'm going to go to the pool or I'm going to go to a spa or go, you know, whatever the case is. Like, I like that freedom, you know?
Yeah. Oh God. My sleep is just everything to me.
Sleep is amazing. It definitely is. It definitely I started to catch, I didn't realize how much like sleep I was, and not that I was missing out on it, but just even having a dog of having to get up earlier just to like make sure, cause he was older. So I had to like spend more time to take him out. Cause it was a whole process and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, then I was like able to actually sleep in again. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, this is what I've been missing the last like 3 years.
Like, just an extra like 30 minutes to an hour is just like, I feel like fucking Rapunzel. Like, this is amazing. You know, we're just like, God, this is so relaxing. So yeah, it's a huge deal.
When you were younger, did you ever run into the issue when you were dating of guys thinking that you were crazy, that you didn't want kids? Absolutely. Did you ever get judged by guys?
Absolutely. Definitely more so obviously by women, but guys that were just like, okay, but like maybe in a couple of years. Nope, not in a couple of years.
I had a guy tell me one time, he was like, there's something wrong with you. Your biological clock.
Really?
Yeah. Flat out said it. He just was like, cause he was like, I want D1 athletes, like da, 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 da. And like, none of this was disclosed in his profile. So it's not like I knew, you know, like that was his goal of like marriage, kids, like whatever. Like it was very vague on his profile. He was cute. I matched with him. We got into the conversation. And he was like something about kids. And I was like, oh, I don't want kids. And he was like, he's like, there's something wrong with you. That was literally verbatim what he said to me. And I was like, like what, because I'm making a choice to not make my life more complicated. Like, And he's like, well, that's what women are supposed to do. And I was like,
pardon? Oh, well, okay. Pardon? Well, thank you so much for coming I'm going to go ahead and get my check and then just leave you here at the bar.
Luckily we never met. It was only through like, you know, chat, but still I was just like, how are you going to sit there? You've talked to me for literally 5 minutes and you're just going to be like, something's wrong with you because you don't want kids. I'm like, and I've had many conversations. That was probably the most aggressive conversation that I've had, but I have had many conversations in that tone from women, obviously, but men too. And the men really surprised me more of like, there's something wrong with you. I can't believe you don't want kids or like,
I never had that, but I definitely had the guys who were like, oh, well, you know, maybe you might change your mind or you might open up to it later on. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. I don't like, you know, martinis. I never have. I never will. I've tried it. Don't like it. Won't do it. So same with kids. I don't like the idea. Don't think I'm gonna have it. Don't think I'm gonna do it. You can't change your mind. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's wild. It's just so crazy what people project to. I just like, I don't know. I think that's part of the reason why, because it's just like, it's almost fear-based at this point in some aspects. Cause I'm just like, all right, like I just can't deal with confrontation and the anxiety like all the time. Cause like even my therapist the other day was like, this is like the happiest like you've been in so long. And I was like, yeah, because I don't have any like outside stresses and like, you know, like there's no guys that are making me cry or like second guess myself or love bombing me or, you know, like work is fine. Like there's no real drama happening there. Like the podcast is going good. I don't have co-host drama anymore. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are just like falling into place. And I'm just
it is now released and I'm in a better space.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and then like when like Koala was joking, oh yeah, like we should have a kid. And like, again, I know he wasn't serious. But, and I was just like, why would I want to do that to myself now? Like, you know, like,
this I'm is like, good.
Yeah. Like everything is so good right now. And I'm like, I don't want to fuck with that. Like,
yeah. This is really good, kid. Shut up.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. The situation in itself is also really good. Yeah. So I'm like, please don't get ahead of ourselves here.
Note to self, buy more condoms. Awesome.
I know. Seriously. Jesus, oh my gosh. Christ. Luckily, one of my drawers in my nightstand has a ton. So that's a
there you go.
And I have an alarm on my phone for my birth control. So I should
girl,
be
good to go. Let me tell you, when you get your hysterectomy done, to take off your alarm, to take off the menstruation app, and then getting rid of the condoms, it was just like, wow, this is very liberating. Like all this could go away. Tampons. I was just like, anybody need tampons? I got a crap ton of them. I could just give them to you.
I know I'm looking forward to that day. I'm curious because, well, I hear, have you seen the TikToks about people trying to get a hysterectomy and sterilized and all the different things and their doctors won't allow it? Like this one lady, she was a lesbian or she is a lesbian, but she was like, I went to my doctor and the doctor was a male and he was like, well, what about
your
husband?
Medical reason or whatever.
Yeah. And she was like, well, I just don't want kids. I'm a lesbian. And, you know, I just like, I'm sick of dealing with like the complications that I've been having with my peer, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, he basically was just like, no, what if you have a husband one day? And she's like, I'm a lesbian. Like, I'm not bisexual. I'm a lesbian. I'm not going to have a husband. What do you mean? Like, you know, so I've seen so many stories like that on TikTok too, of just people like begging for, you know, legal help or just like referrals to other doctors in their area who will do it because so many doctors won't. And I just think that's so crazy.
That is insane. And I can kind of see, because obviously it is a major decision. It's a 100%. Once you're done, you can't really go back from kind of thing, unless you do the partial where you can still have your ovaries and then someone else can carry your child. I get it. But at the same time, if I'm coming to you and I am of sound mind telling you that this is what I want, who are you to refuse that for me?
Right. And like so, when I was 16, I understood them saying no. Exactly. I was annoyed about it, but I understood it. But it's like,
I understood it at 25 when my doctor said the same thing.
But at the same point though, you just said of sound mind, there's so many people that are not of sound mind who procreate. Like they accidentally get pregnant or they're just like mentally not well and having kids. And I'm just like, okay, so who's stopping them? Like that, that's, I get so angry when I hear stories of women struggling with like, oh, I can't get a hysterectomy and sterilized and all this stuff because the doctor said because of my husband or my husband won't get snipped or all these different things. And I'm like, but everyone literally can just get pregnant. Like Nike Adidas's mom, like she just was having kids left and right in Atlantic City. And I'm just like, the fuck? Like, where's, you know, why aren't you stopping those people from having kids?
Why are you stopping me? And those people can't be stopped.
Right. It's so wild. It's so wild to me.
Insane. There you go, kids. It is team pull out over here. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. We are definitely team pull out, but we are not going to shame you.
Thank you.
If you want to have kids, you can contact either of us to talk shit about your kids.
Yes. Oh my God. Please. If you need a safe space, I feel like the Sarah McLachlan song should be going on about.
Yeah.
If you need a safe space as a mom to just vent about your asshole kids with no judgment and possibly have friends that'll get you nice and plastered.
Yeah.
Please call Stephanie and Desiree at the Dirty Blondes podcast.
Seriously. We won't watch your kids, but we'll help you get drunk.
We won't watch them. We will not babysit. That's where the attorney disclaimer in small print underneath. Desiree and Stephanie will not babysit your kids and are not responsible for your kids or their actions.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're across the bottom of the commercial. But we will get you drunk and let you talk shit about your kids and your partner, whether that is your husband or your lesbian lover. We'll let you talk shit about them when you come with us.
Well, I'm a Libra, so I love the gossip. I love the gossip when it's not involved like in my life. Like, so I'm always like all the tea. Like, tell me about your asshole kid. I want to know all the things.
God, what
did the teacher call you about today?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Oh, and then that other mom. Oh my God. I hate her too. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I live for that kind of drama, but I'm like, you can get your own babysitter, but I'll make you feel okay.
I got a picture of margaritas with your name on it, girl. Come on.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, I think we've kind of hit a little bit of everything with the child-free life.
Child-free.
All right. Well, don't forget to follow Desiree's podcast, and I follow her on Instagram. I will tag her and everything. So don't forget to follow her there as well. And we love you guys. And we hope that you enjoy your child life or child-free life, whichever you decide, but we're here.
Enjoy life, y'all. Yeah. Do it.
We're here for the gossip though.
We are. The next PTA meeting, call us. We want to know all the tea.
All right, guys. We love you. And we will talk to you again soon. All right. Bye.
Bye.